Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad through the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
Assalamu alaikum. You are out on the front line with the fruit of Islam. I am your host, Jihad Muhammad, from Atlanta, Georgia. Tonight, in the first hour, we will discuss the history of the Nation of Islam, part two, Closing the Gap. In the first hour, at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks with one of the top soldiers and ministers of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan, we have the legendary Abdul Rahman Muhammad from Atlanta, Georgia, who has written a must-read book called I Walked with the Great Ones. That's coming up in the first hour. And in the second hour, that fiery panel is back to discuss the divine message, the time, and what must be done, part 18, by the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan. Tonight, in the second hour, at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks with student minister Abel Muhammad from Mas Maryam, student assistant minister Tony Muhammad from Muhammad Smiles 29, Miami, Florida. And they are joined by top soldier, former student state captain, Ray Muhammad, now here in Atlanta, Georgia. And we will be joined tonight by the attorney, Kenneth Muhammad, as well. Also, boots on the ground, we will salute the soldiers of the Fruit of Islam who got their boots on the ground with the Final Call News and helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan across America. So sit back and get your questions ready and get your comments ready. Call in to the show. Buckle up. Let's ride. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant. Before we get started tonight, Brother Rafi, there's a lot of static. I don't know if that's a cordless phone or what's going on, but I'm hearing a lot of static and feedback on the line. It sounds like it could be a cordless line. Let me get started. Let me get started by saying it this way. We are honored tonight and blessed with a very, very beautiful brother, a student of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and also a helper of the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan. He was a captain in the Nation of Islam. He has a true soldier's story. He was captain of the year in 1966 to 1967, and if you know anything about the history of the Nation of Islam, we had some mighty top captains in that era of time. Captain Yusuf Shaw, Captain Elijah Muhammad Jr., Raymond Sharif, we had some mighty captains. Well, this man made captain of the year in 1966-1967. He was the starter, the one who helped to start the honor guard squad for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad the messenger of Allah, the Messiah, right there in Chicago. Please bring to the mics our minister and elder, the legendary Abdul Rahman Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, brother minister. Is our brother there, brother Rafi?
Yes, sir. The mic is open, beloved. I don't know where
your mic is open.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right. Is Sister Gidget on the line? Because I know she was the one bringing him through.
Her microphone is open, sir.
All right. So, like, Sister Gidget, are you there? All right, something must have happened. Well, let me go ahead and get started while she's getting that together. I think she had put herself in on mute for a minute. If she comes back in, please let me know, Brother Rafi. The book is called I Walked with the Great Ones. And the book is written by Brother Abdul Rahman Muhammad, and he deals with a lot of the history of the Nation of Islam, starting with his walk and travels with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, also his walks with Muhammad Ali, and how he was the one responsible for helping our brother be orientated into the fruit of Islam, and also his experience of soldiering with Malcolm X as well, and also a very powerful boxing promoter by the name of Don King, and Don King's contribution to the Nation of Islam. And so we're going to give a second and see what's going on with the line real quick. She may have gotten taken off. I don't know. Brother Rahman, are you there, sir? Okay. Is everybody muted out, Brother Rafi? Is there something wrong with the line?
No, the microphone is open as I'm looking at it, sir.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll give him a second then. Well, second hour, we also have with us, our panel is back for the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks. We have Brother Abel will be with us in the second hour. Also, Brother Kenneth, Brother Tony Muhammad, and also Brother Ray Muhammad. They'll be here to discuss the timely message to time and what must be done. Rafi, let me go ahead, brother, while they're getting that together. Let's go ahead and give a salute, because I don't know how much time we're going to have when everybody gets back on the line. Let's go ahead right now and give a salute to the soldiers of the Fruit of Islam who have been helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan with the Final Call newspaper. Let's go down into Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Hattiesburg, Mississippi. The soldiers in Hattiesburg, Mississippi got their boots on the ground, and they are helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan with the Final Call news. Birmingham, Alabama. Yes, the soldiers in Birmingham got their boots on the ground with the Final Call newspaper. Tampa, Florida. The soldiers in Tampa, Florida are flying the flag of Islam, and they got their boots on the ground as they're helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan with the Final Call news. Dallas, Texas. That's right. We got soldiers in Dallas, Texas, and the soldiers in Dallas, Texas got their boots on the ground with the Final Call news. Jackson, Mississippi. Jackson, Mississippi, the soldiers in Jackson got their boots on the ground as they're soldiering the Final Call and delivering the word of God to the people in Jackson, Mississippi. Youngstown, Ohio. That's right, soldiers in Youngstown, and the soldiers in Youngstown, Ohio got their boots on the ground. Buffalo, New York. That's right, soldiers in Buffalo. And the soldiers in Buffalo got their boots on the ground. Shout out, soldiers. This is a salute to the soldiers who got their boots on the ground with the Final Call news in the communities across America. Let's move on. Gary, Indiana. soldiers in Gary, Indiana, as the soldiers in Gary, Indiana got their boots on the ground with the final call news. Billy P.A. Muhammad's Mosque, number 12, the top of the clock. The soldiers in Philly got their boots on the ground with the final call. Shout out, soldiers, and keep up the good work. Our number one, this week, our number one soldiers with their boots on the ground goes to Oakland, California, Muhammad's Mosque, 26B. Student Minister Keith Muhammad and the soldiers, the Fruit of Islam in Oakland, got their boots on the ground. They are number one this week. Shout out, soldiers, and keep up the good work. We will be back next week, by God's grace, with another top 10 of soldiers across the country who are not to be denied, who are soldiering the final call news. All right. Is Sister Gidget on the line?
Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, there you are, beloved. Is our beloved elder on the line, Minister Rockman, with you?
Yes, sir, he should be.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Minister.
He's here.
Hello.
Brother Rockman?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you, sir. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam.
I'm glad to have you on the line, sir. I'm going to go ahead and get started because there was some interference with the line. It sounded like a cordless.
Yeah, I know. I could hear y'all, but you couldn't hear me.
Yes, sir. Let me go ahead and get started, Brother Elder,
right,
and talk to you. And
right.
Let's get this thing moving real fast. Let me go ahead first and talk to you about your journey in the FOI and when you were in Chicago as a soldier in the FOI. Can you tell us the story about how you became and rose to a lieutenant and a first officer?
Well, yes. First of all, I'd like to give thanks to Almighty God, Allah, who appeared to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever. Thanking him forever and ever upon ever for the honor of Elijah Muhammad. Now, I heard Islam in Atlanta, Georgia in 1955. I lived in New York in 1954. I lived in Detroit in 1953. I never knew what a Muslim was. I had emails in those cities where a lot of Muslims were. I never ran into one. But I came back home to Atlanta in 55, and the messenger was just sending a man here in Atlanta to get Islam started. So I met him. His name was James. And I believed it right away because that in Genesis 15 and 13, God said his people will be a stranger in a land that's not theirs and serve a people for 400 years. I knew that fitted us to the T. But I had planned to go to, you know, I was a mover. In my young days, I was kind of hard to be satisfied in one place. So I moved to Los Angeles, but I accepted Islam in Atlanta. But I didn't get completely registered. So I moved to Los Angeles, and it took me about a year to find a Muslim. That's 1956, and going on 57. But when I found him, I processed myself on in. My wife was a school teacher. Malcolm told her she should write the messenger and tell the messenger her credentials. And she did, and the messenger sent for her, and she went, and he hired her on the spot because she had a degree, and no one else had in the school had a degree. So she was the first degree teacher that we, the Nation of Islam, ever had. So eventually, I said I had to go to Chicago, so I went on to Chicago, and me being a soldier mentality, because I had previously been in the white man's army in 1950, 51, part of 50. And I said, if I soldier for the white man, the devil, I can show soldier for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
So I went into Chicago, and I guess it was about a month time, or maybe a couple of months. I came, and the captain asked me about heaven and, you know, being a lieutenant. And, you know, I jumped out of my skin because that's exactly what I wanted to be, where I could train the soldiers.
Yes, sir.
And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he would make trips to the mosque through the week. And we would observe, you know, the how the security was wasn't so great. So me and myself and another brother named Quentin, another one named Willard, we were lieutenants, all three of us were lieutenants. So we said, let's form an honor guard. So, and we get all the brothers to come out and do calisthenics and exercises, and the ones who can make it, they'll be on the honor guard. So we started off with about 70 brothers, you know. But when all the training was over with, I guess we had about 15 left. And we used to go to the park, and every Saturday and Sunday morning run 2 miles in the park. And our captain, if you didn't come in the park, young or old, you couldn't get a chance to come to the meeting. So after we formed the honor guard, we trained on how we would take the messenger into the arena, how we had a guard flank, and how we put guards in the crowd instead of being right up on top of you, see, because you have the best security when you got somebody in the crowd, you know, but close by.
Right.
Because you can see what's going on in the crowd if you're in the crowd. So
right.
We did those kind of things. And I served as lieutenant for a while and sold my papers like all the other brothers. Even in good old cold, hard Chicago, and it was cold. And I just knock on the doors in them projects where J.J. Nimmy went in the Good Times television
Yes,
show.
Sir. Yes, sir.
I used to be in them projects selling papers back in the 50s. And I would go to the top of the building and work my way down, and that wind would be cold, brother. I mean, cold.
Mm-hmm.
My sisters used to open the door and say, "What are you doing out here in all this cold weather? You really must believe in that man to be out here." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I believe in
it." Yes,
said,
sir.
"Well, give me one of them papers." My hand would be so cold, brother, I couldn't take the money. I have to have other to put it in my pocket. But I did that kind of soldiering.
Yes, sir.
But after it was over with me, and the brothers would go get some hot chocolate and go to kicking it, after a while, it was about time to go to the Sunday meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then we perform. In fact, we were so gung-ho, we go into a meeting. The captain didn't have to put us on post. We took the searching post. We took the ushering post. We took the front rostrum post. But not anybody even telling us. We were those kind of soldiers. You know,
right.
We weren't running from duty. We were running to duty.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Brother Minister, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
This is all during the honor guard training, right? The brothers that were in the honor guard, y'all just came in and just took assignments, right? Just took the post. Okay.
Just going. What is necessary to be done, we did it. You know, we didn't have nobody to tell us, you take that post, bro. Captain didn't have to do that for us. He come to the mosque, we already got things going, already set up. Yeah, it's already going, rolling. Yes.
Right. Well, I got something here. When I believe this is when you were in the honor guard squad. You talked about this on page 37. You said once at the messenger's dinner table, there was this man, fairly light-skinned, short in stature, with long hair. He was an angel.
That's what the messenger
He told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that every time he would come around the messenger, the hair on his arms would stand up. He said one particular time he was at the dinner table. He told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that whenever he goes out of his driveway, that he should scoot down in his car seat. He told him to be aware of someone trying to hurt him. You want to finish that story, Brother Minister?
Well, that's the way, you know, I was sitting at the table when he told the messenger. He said about the hair standing up on his arms, and otherwise that's how much electricity the messenger and him was generating. And he said, the apostle said, when you go out, slide down in your car when you're going out of your driveway. So what we did, we took, you know, hint to the wise is sufficient. So we went across the street and searched the bushes over there. There were no houses over there then. There was scrubby bushes, you know, hedges and stuff. And we found monoculars over there and weapons over there. We don't know who did it, but somebody was planning on trying to hurt the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So what after
right.
that happened, we bought the property over there and cleaned it all off and eventually built homes over there. Yeah, that's
wow.
what that was. And then Messing told us when the man was absent from us, he didn't tell us when he was there. He said, brother, he's the angel. And I met him, met another angel who was dark-skinned and had real straight hair, real pretty, as we said, pretty straight hair.
Yes, sir.
And he had a beautiful dark skin complexion. I mean, he was a beautiful man.
Yes,
and,
sir.
He was an angel.
Wow.
So I was blessed to be in the company of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on those occasions. Now, what made me leave Chicago was one night the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came out and spoke to us and said he had good help in Chicago. And said, y'all get out and help me. You know, I need your help. And right then and there, all I put it in my brain that I had to leave Chicago. So now, at the same time, Savior's Day was coming around. The brothers come in from California, and they wanted me to come back out there since I was going to, I told them I'm leaving, getting out of Chicago because I got to get out here and help it. So they wanted me to come back to California, so I was planning on going back to California. But I went down through Miami, and that's where my wife was from Miami. So we went to Miami, and I saw how pitiful the Muslims were in Miami. And I said to myself, I said, if I left this, Allah wouldn't forgive me.
Wow.
So I stayed in Miami, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad heard that I was there. And right away, he told the minister, said, make him your captain. So now I got to be captain, just like that.
Wow. Well, let me go ahead, while you're in Miami, let me go ahead and tell the story this way. In your book also, the book I Walked with the Great Ones by Abdul Rahman Muhammad, you have on page 57, it goes like this. It was 1961 on the corner of 2nd Avenue and 6th Street in Miami, Florida. I was doing what many men across the country was doing, selling the number one weekly newspaper in the black community.
That's
Muhammad speaks. While selling the papers, a young man yelled across the street to me, hey, brother, why are we called Negroes? Why are we blind, deaf, and dumb? Why is everybody making progress and we are lagging so far behind? My response was, hey, man, you sound like you are hip to the teachers. The brother said, yes, I've read your paper. I'm Cassius Clay. I'm going to be the next heavyweight champion of the world. Brother Minister, you want to finish that story for us, sir? I'll start the story off.
what you said is exactly where it happened. I was selling the papers, and you know, I was a captain, but I the messenger told me when I was a captain, you lead by a good example, you know, and so I wouldn't tell the brothers to sell. I was a top salesman in the Mars and papers because I was leading the charge.
Come on.
So when the brother saw me, he said exactly what you said. Hey, brother, why are we called Negroes? Why are we blind, deaf, and dumb? I said, you know, I think tennis. I said, man, you're hip to the teachers, huh? He said, yeah, I'm Cassius Clay. I'm going to be the next heavyweight champion in the world. I said, yeah, man, I know you. You just won the Olympics. He said, yeah, would you like to go around to my room to see my scrapbook? So I went around the room with him to see his scrapbook. And Ingemar Johansson was the heavyweight champion of that at that time. And Floyd Patterson had lost it to Ingemar. And they're having a rematch in Miami. And my Ali was working out with Ingemar Johansson, who was the champ. And Ali was beating him up. And I'm read this article. I just never see it, but I read the article. They said this brass kid from Louisville is about to mess up a $4 million gate the way he's beating up on the champ in the spine session. So I saw that and looked up at him and saw how cocky he was. I said to myself, I said, yeah, if I take care of this boy, he will be champion. So from that day on, I looked out for him. I showed him, taught him how to eat, got him away from eating swine. I had him eating right and thinking right. And I was teaching him Islam every day because I carried him to the gym every day. Yes.
And, Brother Minister, the story goes that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad had you orientate Muhammad Ali into the fruit of Islam.
Well, I made him write his letter. I put it to you like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I had him write his letter, and I'm the one brought him into the FOI. Ain't no doubt about that. Yes.
Now, brother minister. Now, when he became an FOI, in your book, you was talking about because of his status as a heavyweight champion, he didn't have to come to all the FOI classes and things like that. But when the announcements was ever made that Muhammad Ali would come to the mosque, hundreds and thousands would come out to see the heavyweight champion. That was his way of giving back as well.
Oh, brother, look, this man. Every city he went into, man, he was drawing them to the mosque by the thousands, hundreds and thousands. He went, and the
okay.
man did a great contribution to Islam. Man, he was a big help. He pulled a lot of people. Today, you hear them got Muslim names. He gave them that courage to do that.
Wow.
To change their name. A lot of them small figures, like even Abdul Kareem, who played with the Lakers. He got the courage from Ali to change his name, and many
right.
more of them. Rashad, who's married to that girl who played Bill Cosby's wife on her show. Yeah, he told us he got the courage to change his name because of Ali. So Ali did a great thing for us in the Nation of Islam.
Well, Brother Minister, what was it like for him as the heavyweight champion and refusing the draft and a lot of the FOI at that particular time because America was persecuting the war against the Vietnamese? What was that like for the FOI that day and for Muhammad Ali in those days?
Well, in those days, you know, most brothers went to prison. You know, the ones didn't, like the sister said, her brothers went to South America. But most brothers went to prison, and a lot of white boys went to Canada, you know, because of the stand that Muhammad Ali made, you know. And Ali came to me and said, they say I won't have to do nothing in the army but just entertain. I said, yeah, but that's abetting. That's abetting and aiding and abetting. So he said, well, what would you do? I said, I'd do what the messenger done. He said, well, I said, he went to jail. So Ali was ready to go to jail because of what Donald Elijah Muhammad had done and all the other good believers had done previously. Because, so the reporters came to him and wanted to know, why you don't want to go to the army, man? And he came and asked me, he said, they want to know why. I said, go out there and tell them. You ain't got no quarrel with the Viet Cong. They ain't never called you a nigga. They ain't never raped you and killed you and hung you. So he did that, and that statement reverberated around the world.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Well, so a lot of the soldiers decided they were going to just go ahead and go to jail and do their time.
Some of them went to jail.
Yes, sir.
And on top of that, I ran into brothers who was in the service, and we was able to tell them what to do to get out.
Mm.
Yeah, so I got a brother right here in Atlanta now. He was in the service, and we told him how to get out, and he got out.
Right.
Because, you know, you conscientious objective, can't nobody make you fight and kill nobody if you don't believe in that. So a lot of brothers took that stand. A lot of them took that stand. A lot of them went to jail here in Georgia. A lot of them around the country went to jail because they were following their leader.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way that was. That was just like going to war. This story when you're doing something for a cause, man. It don't bother you at all.
Yes, sir.
Now, well, I'm gonna tell you how powerful Allah is. Minister B.R. down in Miami, who I know you're gonna have on your show soon.
Yes, next week. Yes, sir.
He told me when the police was beating him, he said Allah didn't even let him feel it.
Mm.
Man, you know that's something, isn't it?
That's powerful.
That's powerful.
That's powerful.
He told me, he said, Allah didn't even let him feel it. And they were beating him with sticks in his ribs and everywhere, hitting him everywhere with them sticks. So we got a God. That's why I have to give praise and thanks to him forever for coming, because we wouldn't be no FOI, who is the backbone of the Nation of Islam, who are dedicated to freedom, justice, and equality for our people. And without that idea that we have in us, the black man would be lost in America. He'd be completely swallowed up. We're the only chance he got.
Yes,
sir.
That's
why we in the FOI should do everything that we can to bring our people around. And we can do that more by showing how together we are and how much love we have for them and ourselves. And, brother, we got to be the right example for our people to come.
And yes, sir.
The time is right now. So things ain't going to get no better.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, but listen, let me ask you a question. 1966, you became Captain of the Year. Now, y'all had some powerful captains back then. What was that like? What was that like for you being the Captain of the Year? Up against Captain Yusuf Shah and Evans.
The way that come about, we didn't have no mosque in Miami. The Negroes down there had petitioned against us to get us out of our building, and the city went along with them saying we didn't have off-street parking, so they pushed us. We kept the building, but we didn't have no lights in the building, so we couldn't meet. So now I ain't got no place to operate from, so. I was selling, we was meeting in the house. And so I was selling 4,000 papers out of the trunk of my car, me and the brothers. All the papers was in the car, and I didn't stop soldiering for 1 minute. And by doing so, Yusuf Shah, captain on the East Coast at that time, he was my regional captain. And he saw the great work we was doing in Miami and how I held all the FOI together because of the not having a mosque. You know how disenchanted we can get when we ain't got what we want. A lot of us pull back and don't help no more. So I kept the thing together. And so the captain, they gave me a banquet in New York City and honored me with that achievement. And and at that banquet, I did a little speech, and Minister Farrakhan came up to me and said, "Brother, you should be a minister." That's what he told me. Put the seed in me. And I had never thought about being no minister. I love being a captain. I love being a soldier, you know.
Yes,
and,
sir.
He put the seed in me. And I worked with 4 different ministers in Atlanta, Miami, and eventually I asked the messenger about it, and the messenger quickly said I can use you and made me a minister.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What was, our brother's not here today. He made his transitions a few years ago. Captain Yusuf Shaw. What was Captain Shaw, his captaincy like, Brother Minister?
Oh, Brother Captain, he made men, brother. He was he was the best captain in the nation, to me. And men respected him. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was talking about. He knew how to make friends with everybody. He had a beautiful smile. And he was stern at the same time. He made Farrakhan who he is as a man. He was just a dynamic captain.
Yes, sir.
He was just good. He stayed on his job every day. You never went in New York and couldn't find him, hid away nowhere. He was right on top of his job each and every day. And that's what makes you a good labor. You got to ride the Mars. You know, see, the Mars is like a wild horse. And if you don't ride it, it'll throw you. That's the way a Mars is. See, the ministers and captains gonna be on top of their Mars and dealing with everything they need to deal with. They have to be there to do it. If they don't do it, they'll get thrown. And otherwise, somebody's taking their job, and they don't even know what happened to them. But if you stay there on that job all the time, you can get good results.
Yes, sir. Well, let me go ahead and talk about your ministry and how you got to Atlanta. Do you want to tell us how that came about? Because you soldiered all the way up, and now you're going into the ministry, and then you get to Atlanta. How did that come about, sir?
Well, where it was, after I asked the messenger about being a minister, he said, "Yes, son, I can use you too." But I was transporting produce from the farm up to Chicago, you know. I was doing this on my own. Dr. Messon gave me the orders, but he appreciated what I was doing. So I was bringing watermelons up and beans and stuff, canned goods. And after I had asked him about having him in the ministry, so he had the brothers to put me on the roster in Chicago. So I guess that's about three different times. About that third time, it was on a Sunday. And I went to the meeting, and Minister James, who's the minister today, he said, "The messenger wants you to do everything today. Say the prayer, get the acceptance, answer the questions, whatever. Everything." I said, "Yes, sir." So what happened, I said the prayer, and when I looked up, the MGT door opened, and in came the messenger's wife and all the secretaries from the house. All of them was there. So Allah blessed me to get off a good one that day.
Wow.
So I went to dinner with the messenger, not the next day, that day. I went the next day. And the messenger, when you're sitting at his table, he talks to you clockwise. He goes from one to one until he gets to you. And he got around there to me. He said, "Brother, they tell me we need a new roof on our temple. Because they say you blew it off yesterday." So I said, "Dear Holy Apostle, I pray Allah I represented you properly." And sister, his wife, cut in and said, "Yes, son, you really did." And then the messenger told me, said, "I want you to come have dinner with me every day." So I went, Dave, and me and him be talking about how to run the mosque and different things, you know. And I told him all the ministers shortcomings, how some of them is lazy and don't want nobody to spread the teachings in other places. And he told me, he said, "Son, you really know them, don't you?" He said, "I guess so. You don't work with enough of them." That's what was his comment. So now,
wow.
So one day he was sitting there at the table, and he called his secretary, Sister Margaret. He said, "Take a letter." And the letter went like this. He said, "To whom it may concern, I, Elijah Muhammad, messenger of Allah, have appointed Samuel X. Saxon as investigating minister of all local temples of Islam in North America. He have a right to observe you and your labor. He have a right to teach in your temple if he see fit. He have a right to take over. Can he get his report to me of your no progress? He said no minister will hold his post in these awakening times if he's not making progress. And signed it, Elijah Muhammad. And he looked at me and said, what do you think of that, son? I said, dear Foster.
Wow.
I said, that's a big post. That's a big post. Big post, big post.
Yes,
he said, yeah, but you can handle it. And then he told me, he said, just work in the South. You know, but the letter stated all local temples of Islam in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, wow. Well, Brother Minister, I got to ask you about this story. We got about 20 more minutes to go, but I got to ask you about December 1974 in your book, I Walk with the Great Ones, about how every year in December, the believers were getting ready for Chicago to go to Savior's Day, and you were preparing to buy the Messenger of Allah a suit and a shirt for Savior's Day. But this particular year, 1974, going into 75, I believe he wrote you a letter telling you to come to Chicago, and he was going to have you fitted for a suit.
Yep.
And a top coat. You want to tell that story, that history lesson?
Well, you know, when I look back at that, and I hope everybody get this message, he knew he wasn't going to be there with us. Because he told me like this, he said, on the letter, he said, son, don't get me nothing for Savior's Day. This is in December of 74. Now, February. And so evidently, he knew he wasn't going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me not to get him anything for me to go into Chicago and let our tailor fix one for me and get you a top coat, too. So I did exactly what he said, you know. I was telling Minister Farrakhan about the story. I said, the messenger didn't want me to waste no money. So he bought me a suit and he didn't want me to buy him nothing for Savior's Day. So the minister said, what he was doing, Brother Lockman, he was dressing you up on his departure, and he wants you dressed in righteousness when he returns. I fell out the chair when he said that. That's all, brother. He said, yeah, that's what he meant. Yeah.
Wow. Let me ask you this story. I don't know if you want to share this or not, but I believe you told us in Atlanta that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told you that he had cracked Farrakhan.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Can you tell that history lesson on what the Messenger of Allah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was talking about?
Well, he was talking about the knowledge, the wisdom. You know, in the problem book, you got a thing in the problem book that Mr. Muhammad cracked an atom into 10 million parts. So now when he told it to me, he said it three times. He said, I cracked Farrakhan. I said, yes, sir. So me and him kept talking and drinking coffee. He said it again. He said, yes, I cracked Farrakhan. So I couldn't reply with him one way. Yes, sir, again. So he said it three times. So now I knew the problem book talked about a cracked atom. So I went and got the book, read where Mr. Muhammad cracked an atom into 10 million parts. And now, looking at that, we had approximately 30 million black people in America at that time. And I dropped the book and everything. I said, God, the con going to get us all. So, that's what the messenger was telling me. If he cracked the man in that many parts, which was 30 million, and that many people, that means the Farrakhan going to get it. But that's what it meant. That's what it meant to me.
Wow.
And I know he wouldn't have told it to me three times if it didn't mean something. Yep.
Wow. Well, how did and how did you come? There's a story in the book that you heard the voice of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad telling you to go and help the minister, Minister Louis Farrakhan.
You know, after the nation fell, I got back with Muhammad Ali, working with Muhammad Ali, you know, in his last couple of fights. And He wasn't making no movies and everything. So I was out in California with him. And I told him, I said, man, you don't need me no more. You ain't doing nothing. I said, pay me off and let me go home. So he gave me some money. I got on the plane, came back home. Now, I got a wife and 7 children. I'm in the house, my house, wife and 7 children. Before I go there, let me tell you this. I've been in Mecca, Medina, and all those holy places over there praying. And when I was with Wallace, the time I was with Wallace, searching for that mystic God, and never did find him. But now,
yes, sir.
This particular day, nobody was at my house. I got 7 children. Nobody there but me. And the messenger came straight to me. I could hear his voice just like you hear mine now. Saying, well, you know, it was all in my brain. It wasn't verbally sound like you hear mine. But anyway, I got the message. He said, go back and help Brother Farrakhan.
Yes, sir.
I got up and when he said that, I got up and said a prayer. Now my mind is back on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Master Farrakhan Muhammad. When I was in Mecca, Medina, I had my mind on mystery God. I didn't feel nothing. But when he told me to go back and help Farrakhan, I got up and said a prayer. And I said a prayer with my eyes closed. And it looked like if I opened my eyes, God and the messenger would have been right there in front of me. And I said, I'm back home again. And I processed myself back in the Nation of Islam. And I'm here today.
All praise is due to Allah, but listen, you know, you tell the story also about the promoter, Don King.
Big
boxing promoter during the time of the 60s and 70s, and working with Muhammad Ali and others. What was it like working with Don King as well?
Don King is an outstanding man, you know, and he's very smart, you know, and you heard fighters say he was robbing him and cheating him, but it wasn't like that. The way Don was, you may be a man just getting started out. Don would have his son to sign you on a contract on 50-50. But at the same time, he taking care of you and getting you a few $100 to take care of yourself every week. You ain't got no fight yet. Then when you start getting fights, you might make $10,000. You get 5, and his son get 5. So that's all right. Now, when you start making big money, you don't want to do it. So you go to talk about you being robbed. But he started you off with nothing, see. And for you to go out and loud talk him like he's a gangster or a crook, that's wrong. You signed the contract. And the best when you don't agree with the contract, you're supposed to try to do away with that contract through negotiation and write up another contract. So that was some of the big things they had on Don. But Don was very chatty. When Minister Farrakhan was getting started out, Don asked me about, what about Farrakhan? You know, because Wallace now was in power. I said, well, I said, Farrakhan is the man, you know. He said, I think I helped Farrakhan. I'm sure he gave Farrakhan $10,000. And I was way back there in the early 80s, you know, when Farrakhan was first getting started. And he would get a mosque down in Miami and other mosques and up in Ohio, hundreds of turkeys to give away on Thanksgiving and Christmas. And see, people, and then one day a fighter, washed up fighter, He wanted some money. Don, I seen Don give him $6,000, and I said to Don, I said, Don, you know you ain't gonna ever get that money back. He said, yeah, I know Rockman. He said, but he got a family, and he gonna have a Christmas for his family. And I said, wow, you know, and he know this boy can't fight no more. So, but nobody writes about him and tell those stories about the brothers. He's a good, genuine man, brother, and I know it. And I'll tell anybody that. In fact, Yusuf Shah, who was the captain in New York, he didn't have no employment. Don gave him a job, you know, just being with him. Well, making about $700 a week of expenses. He didn't have to do that. Because the man didn't have no real purpose but just being with him, driving around with him and being with him wherever he go. See, so he's a real good man. I tell anybody that.
But, Mr., we got about 10 minutes remaining, sir. What are some of the differences in the struggle between the fruit of Islam from the generation of the 60s? Because it seemed like the 60s generation of the fruit of Islam was probably the most productive, I think, anyway. But I could be wrong. But what's some of the differences? What were some of the challenges of the soldiers from the 60s and 50s as it relates to the difference between what the soldiers are going through today?
Well, I think what the soldiers are faced with today, they got sex in their face everywhere they turn, and there's more vices to attract them than it was before. And for some reason or another, we think we are part of the mainstream of America. So see, but in the 60s, 50s and the 60s, we knew what the enemy was. We knew who the enemy was. And we, as men, we wanted to be free. So this is why we dedicated our lives to go all out to be free. See? And, but today, there's so many things tempting our brothers, and they don't have the belief that we had. And so that's what I have to contribute to. You know, you come into a thing because ministers are a real great personality, and you want to be in the nation for the wrong reasons. And being in a nation like that, that ain't the right reason. The right reason is we're on a mission, and the mission is the resurrection of the dead. See, and if you don't come for that, you may as well stay outside. See, if you don't want to help bring a man from death to life, then you in here for nothing. You're in here for the wrong reason. And I think a lot of people are in here for the wrong reason because they like the way the minister speaks. But when it come down to keeping that duty, they ain't ready to do that. They just have go at it. But see, we back in the old days in the 60s, man, all FOI was selling 300 papers or more. We had brothers to sell. And the paper is, brothers, really, we could get anything we wanted if we sold that paper. If we sold that paper, brother, the messenger bought everything with that paper. He bought 5,000 acres of farmland in Georgia, 2,000 acres of farmland over in Alabama, 2,000 acres up in Michigan, around 400 down in Mississippi. He even had farmland over in the British Honduras. And we bought $1 million printing press where we were printing our newspaper. We had a big warehouse where we printed our paper. All of everything can come if the FOI bat out and sell that paper. And in fact, the minister deserved better than what we give him. There ain't no doubt about that. Even after we see how hard he worked, we don't even follow it up with our work. So, that's a condemnation on us. And I think before it's over with, we might get a little whipping. Many of us are going to get a good whipping. But, brother,
that's
the difference I see. We're not dedicated. We're not committed like we were in the old days.
Yes, sir. What were some of the accomplishments that you had as the minister in Atlanta? I know you had businesses and stuff going on here in Atlanta as well when you were the minister of Atlanta.
Well, I had 4 restaurants. Fast food service, you could sit down in them too, but they called the steak and take restaurants. And I had a full blown baker. I ain't talking about no bean pie, only bean pie. I'm talking about a baker where we cook danishes, donuts, cakes, and breads, and bean pie. And I had that. I had a boutique, haberdashery, and sewing shop. I had 2 tractor trailer trucks. I was the first one to be able to, when the messenger started talking about bringing the fish in the country, I went on and got me some trucks so I could have him, because I know he was gonna need them. He didn't tell me to do it. I did it, and I unloaded a lot of ships with those trucks, you know, and because we were bringing 1,000,000 pounds of fish in every month, and I sold 100,000 pounds here in Atlanta every month, and I had two moths here in Atlanta. I had one on Bankhead and one on Fayetteville out in Clickwood, going toward Decatur. And those are some of them. And I sold 40,000 Muhammad Speak newspapers every week, Atlanta did.
40,000? Yeah,
40,000.
Mm-hmm.
New York was selling 100,000. Philadelphia was selling 100,000, sometime 110,000. Chicago was selling 60. Detroit was selling 52. Now those we was in LA was selling 40,000, and San Francisco was selling 30,000, and we was the big boys, and I was doing 40,000 here in Atlanta.
Wow.
Yep. So we were selling selling 1,000,000 papers every week.
1,000,000 a week.
Yep.
Wow, and that's when it was 25 cents a paper.
Yeah, that's right. And the brother didn't make but 4 cents off the paper, but he was selling, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. All of, I had a brother here selling 1,200, and I had another brother selling 1,500, and I had a whole lot of them selling 8, 5, 6. In those days, I wouldn't even mention you. FOI, if you wasn't doing at least 500. And,
wow.
And you know, brother, all of them had plenty of money in their pocket. I auctioned off a cheese pie, you know, raising money for the school. I auctioned off a cheese pie, sold the cheese pie for $300. You know who bought it? One of the brothers on the paper crew. You know who ate it?
Who's that, sir?
All of them who was bidding against him. And all of them was the paper crew.
Wow.
And you think about that kind of spirit.
Yes, sir. Another minute in the
Go ahead.
In closing minutes, what was it like to be a lieutenant in the 60s, in those days, or the 70s? What was it like being a lieutenant running a crew of men of 25 or more?
Well, what it was like, brother, you know, you're in command, and when you got respect for your men, you just designate what you want them to do. We didn't have no problem getting big brothers to do nothing, to act right and follow orders. So I think it was real easy with me because that was, today I don't think we talk of the Islamic language enough. We hear and we obey. Keep your duty. We got to talk Islamic language. Yeah, I'm dedicated to this cause, the resurrection of the dead. See, stay on with stuff like that. See,
right.
But it's a beautiful thing, you know. But being a lieutenant, man, you got to check on your men every day. See. I got lieutenants, I know about it, people, they don't check on the men to find out if the men donate to the cause. They don't find out, make sure the men sell their papers. See, you got to see to it that they get in the streets. You got to take them out there yourself. And that I don't see today. The lieutenants don't take their men to the streets. You can't be no lieutenant just sitting right back ordering people to do things. You got to be the example. You can just teach better by being the example. You have to show people how things. And if you're the leader and taking people to the street, you get all the respect in the world. That's how I did. I was a captain, and I was taking them to the streets. See? And that way, you don't have no problem getting people to, you know, obey you. But when you trying to be a prima donna, lieutenant, or captain, you ain't going to get nothing done too much. You might find some brothers going to do the job anyway. But some of them ain't going to do the job because they don't see you doing nothing.
Right.
Yes. But lieutenant.
Okay. Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Being a lieutenant is a good thing to be. Because, see, it's his duty to train a private soldier. So to train him in the charity, train him in the drill, train him in the paper selling, searching, make a FOI. That's his job.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yep.
Thank
all
you,
right.
Brother Manza. Your book, I Walked with the Great Ones.
Yes.
Can you tell us where we can get this book at, sir?
Yeah, it's 4025 Robin Circle. That's 4025 Robin Circle. Like a bird, Robin, R-O-B-I-N, Circle. That's Atlanta, Georgia, 303-49, area code.
Beautiful.
And it's in my name. If anybody would like to purchase it, they send me that money, I mail the book right back to them.
Yes, sir.
The book goes for $15. I'm in March 15, so I couldn't sell it for over 15. But I know it's not.
Yes, sir.
then,
yes, sir.
But, you know, when you write something like that, you don't know how good it is. It's like a woman cooking a meal. She don't know how good it is for somebody to tell her. But everybody's been telling me how much they like and enjoying my book. So
this is a great book, brother. It's a great read.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, sir,
for having me on to talk about it. Thank you. Give everybody my love and greetings. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. That was our elder and minister, Abdul Rahman Muhammad from Atlanta, Georgia, who has been soldiering for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad since the late 50s. What a story. Brother Rafi, you got a caller in queue that wants to chime real quick before we move on?
Yes, sir. You got a caller on the 314 area code, sir.
314. What say you, 314? We got about a minute before we move on to the second panel. What say you, 314?
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Jihad in the panel.
Wa alaykum salam. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. This is Brother Gene. He just answered my questions, bro. I mean, to hear that they were doing 40,000 final calls a week, that is, I'm not going to say it's impossible to do today, but he answered, you know, taking his private soldiers to the street. I mean, leading by example. That was so powerful, bro. And I hope that all the soldiers out there listening throughout the country, we can do that. I mean, 40,000 papers a week, man. That is just off the chain. That's all I want to say, brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your call, Brother Gene. Let me go on and say this before we move to the second hour. First hour of this show, we wanted to dedicate to the history of the Nation of Islam and the fruit of Islam in particular. Next week, we will have the story of Brother Troy X that was mentioned by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Message to the Black Man. You heard Minister Abdul Rahman Muhammad mention how the police beat him and he didn't feel a thing. Well, he will be on next week in the first hour to tell the history of the Nation of Islam and his journey. And we're doing this because we want to close the gap between the generations of today and the generation of yesterday. What the soldiers were like in the 60s and 50s and 40s, and the shoulders that we are standing on today. And this is the reason why we are taking this approach. Let's move on to the second hour. As we move on to the time and what must be done, let me see who's on the line tonight at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks. Is our brother, Student Minister Abel Muhammad, on the line? All right. Is our brother, Student Assistant Minister Tony Muhammad from Miami, Florida, Muhammad's Mosque 29, is he on the line?
He is indeed on the line. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum salam, sir, and I want to say to you, sir, congratulations are in order. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm on top of the world, dear brother. All praises due to Allah.
Oh, I just know you are, my brother.
Yeah,
all praises due to Allah. Sir?
I have a big, gigantic smile on my face right now.
Oh, brother, you in heaven right about now, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Praise be to Allah. Congratulations again, brother, on the engagement. Praise be to Allah. Is brother attorney Kenneth Muhammad on the line?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing fine by Allah's grace, and I thank you for having me.
Oh, brother, I'm glad that you can make it out tonight, sir. And it is top soldier, top gun, former state captain of Alabama, Brother Ray Muhammad. Is he on the line?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, dear brother?
Wa alaikum salam, soldier. How are you tonight?
I'm doing absolutely great, man. I'm on fire. I just heard Brother Minister Rahman, so that was so inspirational just to listen to the history of what that brother have gone through in building what we're standing on now. I was just sitting here with my son just going off, really, over that.
Isn't that something, brother? That's some rich history right there, brother. And the shoulders that we're standing on, some of us, you know, don't really know the history, so we don't really know where we come from or how we even got to this point. And that was the purpose of having Elder on the phone tonight. Let me go ahead and get started. The time and what must be done, part 18, and all I can say is wow. Brother Tony Muhammad, sir, what sticks out at you the most on the time and what must be done, part 18, sir?
Well, dear brother, I'll first say, let's begin properly. Udu alayhim min ash-shaytan wajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness Muhammad is messenger and servant. Assalamu alaikum once again.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. There are so many different points. It just all these points just being flashed towards you in just a matter of seconds of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan sharing these divine words with us. One of the first scriptures, I believe the first scripture he spoke of was in Ephesians chapter 6, in the verses of 11 through 17, in which he references Paul speaking about having to put on the full armor of God in these times. As we are seeking to defend the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and these teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan today is having us put on the full armor. And you have to take a look at how we are studying in our study courses on Wednesday and Friday night. And if we are not partaking in these study courses, we are really, really missing out. We have never been studying like this ever before. I know that particularly on Wednesday and Friday nights when we are studying with the believers, there are certain things that just keep on being brought forth from when we were studying Message to the Black Man and Fall of America, just certain things that we're able to recall that we were not able to clearly recall at one time when we were just doing study circles. Now by utilizing our mosques and study groups as course rooms in studying the way that we are, now we have upgraded our form of study. And now learning how to defend these teachings even more, those of us that are more studied in defending the teachings, we are among them. And, you know, when it came down to how to eat to live, there were believers that have been studying about further about how, let's say, I'm going to give an example, how peanuts themselves, what kind of effect they have on the body. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us not to eat peanuts. And so one believer I remember on a Wednesday night was discussing how it has an effect, a severe effect on our colons. And so when we come together with the believers and partake in knowledge like that, it is so beneficial to the whole community. And I'm just using one example. As it relates to that time and what must be done, the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, week by week, is sharing historical information with us and information that is privy to the politics of America and how it affects the region of Latin America and the Caribbean and really throughout the whole rest of the world, which is a reflection on how America
and its people have been treating us here in the wilderness of North America. And so in just studying that, in engaging in the study, in parsing the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we are learning how to put on the full armor and learning how to more defend him as our leader, teacher, and guide, who is guiding us to the truth. And when we are allowed to be guided to the truth, now we become an active participant in the liberation of our people. And so that is what comes to mind in relation to putting on the full armor of God, Brother Jihad.
Praise be to Allah. Brother Ray, what say you, sir? What sticks out at you and the time and what must be done?
Well, let me say in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness there's no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger. I greet you and the mighty brothers and the radio listening audience in the nation. Greeted words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Salam, sir.
Brother Jihad, man, let me just say, of course, listening to Brother Ginn, listening to Brother Minister Rahman, it kind of fired my spirit up all over again. And then the minister for, Tuesday Believers Meeting the past weekend in Chicago with things that was happening up there. And then the time and what must be done, part 18. I guess what kind of sticks out with me so vividly is that the minister is asking for the showdown. He's calling mm-hmm. for the showdown. Minister Farrakhan is, I think now, time have really mandated that it is time to uncover who the real Satan really is. We have been mm-hmm. hiding behind the word devil. We have been hiding behind what they have been hiding behind, so many titles. Now, Minister Farrakhan is uncovering this beast, and this beast is really running scared at this particular point. So Minister Farrakhan is indeed, in my opinion, is being elevated and risen up to the level of a small messiah. He's challenging mm-hmm. the Jews. He's calling the Jews out. And these are the enemies of the messiah. And then the Jesus of 2,000 years ago that they indeed killed, as you understand, And they're going after Minister Farrakhan with their writings. They're going after Minister Farrakhan with everything that they absolutely have. They're throwing or trying to throw the kitchen sink at him. But Minister Farrakhan is no longer on the defense. We're launching the offensive now. We're going after him, letting the world know that the real Satan, that the whole world needs to become acquainted with, are these Jews who are controlling everything. So what stuck out so much to me, and it will continue to stick out with me, is this word called the showdown. I love what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is doing. He's not backing down. The older the man gets, the younger he gets, the stronger he's getting. He's putting fire and energy back into those of us who might have been sitting on the sideline now ready to jump back into the fight, because we see our man under attack, and we're not going to sit back on the sidelines and allow the enemies of Almighty God and the enemy of the rise of the black man, and particularly the enemies of Louis Farrakhan, to attack him. It won't be like 2,000 years ago, they parading Jesus through the streets of Palestine, and those who was with him saying, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, Hosanna, and then in the next breath saying, crucify him. There's a team and a band of angels that's going to stand with Minister Farrakhan, and when they attack him, then the powers of Almighty God is going to be unleashed on this wicked devil, man. And I'm so glad and so thankful that Brother Jesse out of Houston, man, and Farrakhan's Twitter army, you understand, there's armies in the streets. There's armies on cyberspace. There's armies all over the world that's now backing and standing up and standing with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, man. So that is what's sticking out with me. The fight is on. You can't sit now on the sideline anymore, Brother Jihad and radio listening audience. And to those Negroes that Minister Farrakhan have, said that the Jews are going to, call them out and come against the minister, he asked them just to sit back and watch. But I am of the spirit, if these Negroes attack the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, then we are going to defend the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. There will be no crucifix option of hanging him on the cross this time without many of their lives being taken by the power of Almighty God, Allah, Master Farah Muhammad, and the Christ that's backing the Honorable Louis Farrakhan up, brother. So that's what's sticking out so much with me. The leader is calling for these he's calling for Satan to come on out and uncover him.
All praise is due to Allah. Are you still there, Brother Ray?
I am here.
Oh, okay, okay. So I thought you had got dropped off. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. Well, Brother Kenneth, what say you, sir? The time and what must be done, part 18.
Yes, sir. Beginning like my brothers, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I too bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. It's a blessing to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in this time. He's speaking on the time and what must be done. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that time dictates agenda, that you have to be in accord with the time. And if you're not in accord with the time, then your actions will not be fruitful. In Daniel, in a section where they're going over time, it says, and he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And if the words of the scripture are sealed up until the time of the end, then that means that the common understanding that people have had of scripture in the past is evidently not the same understanding that they're going to have when they ultimately come to the point where,
Whoa. Sounds like our brother got dropped off.
Oh, okay. Are you all? Can you still hear
me? There you go. I can hear you now. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I was saying that if the words are sealed up until the time of the end,
mm-hmm.
then that means that the common understanding of the scripture that the people had isn't the correct understanding, or else it would not have been sealed up until the time of the end. When you go forward to the scripture that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan quoted, which capsulizes the portion of the series that he's in right now, where he's revealing the man of sin, he spoke from 2 Thessalonians. And
right.
One of the first things when he began to do that is I thought about a few weeks back on your radio broadcast when we were going into this, in connection with what he was doing and what when he began this process of actually exposing the man of sin. But here, in dealing with time, it says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, when it says the falling away, there's been a lot of teaching. And in the Scofield Bible in particular, which Brother Jibril always encourages the believers to get because of the good references that it has, in the Scofield Bible in particular, it breaks down a lot of the sections of the scripture. And these words, the falling away must come first, has been connected with apostasy. And essentially the falling away of the believers of the Christ, some of the believers, from true belief. And the word, this word apostasy, says a total, it means, according to the dictionary, a total desertion of or departure from one's religion or principles. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in this last lecture that the falling away is actually, there's two falling aways. One of them that's referenced here is the apostasy, where some of the believers of the Christ would fall away from the band and go into apostasy, a desertion of their faith. What he's on right now is a different falling away, a second falling away, which is the falling away of people who were essentially under the influence of Satan, of the man of sin.
So it says the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed. So in this section on 2 Thessalonians, it goes through, and it's titled here, The Order of Events, and states, first, the working of the mystery of the lawlessness under divine restraint, which had already begun in the apostles' time and which has been expanding throughout the church age. So basically, that's what we've been looking at, lawlessness. We've been looking at a world that is completely under the grip of Satan. It says, second, the removal of that which restrains the mystery of lawlessness. So now there's no restraint on this lawlessness. Third, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit acts as a restrainer of iniquity. The restrainer is referred to by the use of both neuter and masculine genders concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it will be when the restrainer is, quote, taken out of the way, that the man of sin will be revealed. This will be when the church is translated and the Spirit's restraining ministry through it will cease. Next, the manifestation of the lawless one, the man of sin, with the resulting apostasy, where some, during the time that the man of sin is being known, fall into apostasy because of apparently what the man of sin is going to do at that time to the believers, some of them are falling into the apostasy. So these events we are in right now. So in this last lecture, the minister said that the falling away, there are two falling aways, and the one that we want to be focused on and the one that he's dealing with when he talks about the history of the record of the United States government, the history of Europe, the history of these people as they went throughout the earth and engaged the indigenous people, is quoted from the Holy Quran, where it says, every nation has a record, and they will be called to account for their record. But he goes back to the root, as the Bible teaches, as by one man sin entered into the world. He's revealing who the one man is. Now, if Daniel said that the meaning of the words are closed up until and sealed up until the time of the end, then that means the one that has been the great deceiver hasn't been known to the people. Because of that, they are falling into deception, and they think they're doing something good when they're doing something bad.
Mm-hmm.
So he, in this series, is not only making the record of the man of sin known, but he's going back to the root of their origin, to basically show how the thought even got into the population. And he stated that this trichnology, we can't go into it all tonight, but the trichnology, the tricks and lies at the root of this present world, some of it is found in the text that they call the Talmud.
Right, but before you go too far on that, Brother Kennedy,
I'm going to back off with that, Brother. Yes, sir.
Yeah, let me, because you're going to go too far, and then I won't have enough respect for time for the other two panelists that are with us tonight. Let me come back to you, though, because I can give you your time to get back to your point, but let me move over here to Brother Tony, because, Brother Tony, from where he's at right now, I just want to talk about something with you real quick, where that falling away process where the 144,000 would be sealed. Yes. And then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, for the pain of 46 million, only 144,000 would accept the seal of the living God. What say you from that subject of the time and what must be done?
Yes, sir, dear brother. We take a look at the number 144. square root of it is 12, and it makes reference to the 12 tribes that are on the earth. And that means that this battle that is coming, this showdown, is not one that is just taking place in North America, although it begins in North America.
That's right.
As the United States government, by influence, it's still the most powerful, influentially, on the planet Earth. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that the only thing sustaining America right now is its military. However, culturally, we also see a strong power still on the Earth in regards to the pollution of culture. And this is the culture that the enemy has been instilling on the minds of the people everywhere on the Earth. We see this contagion on the being experienced by our people in Africa today, where at one time, if an elder were to walk into the room, the natural thing for young people to do is stand up. We're not experiencing that anymore in Africa or in any part of the earth, because now MTV and now other forms of entertainment that we experience here in America, now that's being polluted in the minds of young people and people in general. In our very homes. And so that is being experienced there. Also in textbooks that are being donated by the United Nations, in many of the cultural practices, I can't even call them cultural practices, but defects of culture that are being presented in textbooks, the acceptance of homosexuality and other things as being other type of ways of life that are not akin to our nature. That is being taught as being normal among our peoples everywhere. So this when we're speaking about the 144,000, this is these are a people that are chosen to teach the rest of the population, not just here in North America but all over the earth, as Master Farad Muhammad believed that he could get us all. And if God himself believes that he could get us all, well, what is the thinking of a God? Be and it is. And he raised one from among us to serve as a vessel to do his will. And that is the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And in our midst today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who vowed to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that he would take these teachings to every nook and cranny in North America. Today we see him taking it to every nook and cranny on the planet Earth by way of the time and what must be done. And I will say this, dear brother. Many of us are engaged in a study of defending the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which absolutely needs to take place. However, we must be very careful, as we are in training to be the 144,000.
Mm-hmm.
We must be careful to see what kind of thoughts we entertain. On the internet, those that oppose the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and call themselves Muslims or Muslim followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad don't want to adhere to what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is teaching among us today. Was teaching us the time and what must be done as it relates to today, because many of us are stuck in our understanding from the way that it was being presented in the 50s and the 60s, you know, and they're not relating to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Much of what they have to say is broadcasted on the internet, and that's pretty much the extent of their power. When we entertain what they have to say in the filth that they have to say about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because they cuss a lot in some cases. In some cases, they express themselves in a way that a Muslim does not express himself. We have to be very careful as to what we entertain. In some of our websites on Facebook and on other forums, we see ourselves engaging in the same practices that they're engaged in some of the silly type of talk, going after the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in a baby type of way. we have to be very mindful that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Theology of Time lecture series, he said that he did not give us these teachings to become mockers of anyone. And so when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan recently in the Time of What Must Be Done, not in this last installment, but in a previous installment, he basically gave us instructions to not engage in that kind of conversation, but rather engage in conversation that we would be defending the minister on an intelligent level and defending him in such a way that the people would be able to see the fullness of our arguments, and they would be able to more closely get to us and get to our understanding on a more closer or intimate level, now bridging the gap so that they could become more acquainted with the time in which we are living in, become more acquainted with the judgment as it relates to today, so that we could learn how to survive these times that are getting darker by the minute, by the second, and know exactly what to do, the time and what must be done, dear Brother Jihad.
All praise is due to Allah. Brother Ray, let me go and talk about this. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that right now they are tired of my preaching. And I'm sure they have contacted the Roman authorities, whom they control in the United States government, and are saying to them, you have to do something about Farrakhan. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, he asked a question. He said, is there a bounty on his head? He said he sits in the heavens and laughs at you, because what you plan for him and this tiny little nation of Islam, please be careful, for you're planning your own death while you think you're planning mine. What say you, Brother Ray?
Hi, Brother Jihad. I guess great minds do think alike, because I was on that thought pattern there. We have to be very careful as well, too. We say Satan, but attach Satan to a man, or we'll become spooky in as much to think that Satan is a spirit. You understand? Satan is the maker of devils. That's why I think the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked Minister Farrakhan to stop using that word devils, because Satan have made a lot of us look devils. So when the Jews, who are absolutely the Satan that the scriptures are talking about, the Bible says those that are called themselves Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan. A synagogue is a place where Jewish people worship. They are of the synagogue of Satan. And Honorable Louis Farrakhan said, I sit and I laugh at you. The Holy Quran said, and the Jews planned. And Allah planned, and Allah is surely the best of planners. So whatever they have planned for the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, when I was in church, they had a song, Holding On. You dig one ditch, you better dig two, because the trap you set may just be for you. So the trap that they're setting, not only for the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, but they are putting traps for the nation of Islam, and those of us who are too weak and too cowardly and too scared, attach ourselves to somebody that's somewhat strong and understand that Minister Farrakhan is indeed going to be the winner, living or dead. But we have to get in this fight with the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. They are attacking Minister Farrakhan, and Brother Tony just said it, on cyberspace. You're absolutely right, Brother Tony. We have to be very careful at how we dialogue on social media. We have to defend the Honorable Louis Farrakhan with the attacks that they throw at him. If they attack him in words, we defend him in words. If they attack him in actions, then we will defend him with our actions. So those who call themselves Jews and are not, and of the synagogue of Satan, but then it's all in your scripture. Jesus having conversation with these wicked crackers. Jesus having conversation with the synagogue of Satan, the Jews, when he said, you know, when he calls them straight up, you're the devil, man. You're not just a devil, but you're the devil. So the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, he's doing righteous things. Minister Farrakhan, opposed to what we have been doing on social media, Brother Tony, going
talking about nothing and foolishness. I mean, it's a Farrakhan. Now we have a Farrakhan Twitter army. Minister Farrakhan have 160 of his ministers engaging in dialogue all over the world. Minister Farrakhan is trending 7 and 8 nationally with righteousness. So we are absolutely combating and throwing missiles and shooting weapons and our ammunition at this beast and letting him know you're not going to be able to get Farrakhan that easily. We're going to defend him. We're going to stand with him. We're going to walk with him. But we're going to have to be careful that we don't get caught up in the snares and the wicked machinations that Satan is going to throw out there at us as well, too. We have to support our local leadership, our regional leadership, as they align themselves with the national leadership. So, man, Brother Jihad, bro, we have definitely got to stand with this man from a strong perspective because the beast has stepped up his attacks on our beloved Farrakhan, so I'm sorry we can't be weak in our defense of him. Yeah, we can quote
right.
all the scriptures that we want to quote, but this beast only fears that he respects. And we got to be those men that the FOI, like Brother Minister Rockman was talking prior to us coming on the air, disciplined, well-trained, well-organized, ready at any time to give our life for the cause of Islam. And when they put their hands on Farrakhan, then a movement got to be made in this country to know that this man you cannot have.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, sir. Brother Kenneth, I'm going to let you go ahead and deal with that Talmud, but I'm going to bring it to you this way, where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said on the time and what must be done. The Jesus of 2,000 years ago was not the Messiah. He was 2,000 years too soon to establish the kingdom of God and in the civilization of the Jews. What say you, sir?
Oh, yes, sir, brother. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that essentially Allah uses what, he didn't say it in these exact words, but essentially Allah uses what we see and what we know to explain the unknown. Where essentially, in one tape, he said he uses seeds, he uses the earth, he uses vegetation to make his point, essentially. In addition to that, he uses and has used ancient people, ancient civilizations, ancient texts, and the lives of ancient people to explain future events. This is one of the things that the scholars of Scripture and all of the major religions have not known, that Allah has essentially used historical events in the lives of people to tell us about future people. What he told us is that essentially what the people have been reading about the life of Jesus and about the life of a Savior is talking about a future man. In just a couple of lectures ago of his, he talked about how the scripture says that before this generation passes, you will see all of these things. He then pointed out how many generations had passed, and he began to break down the numbers. And it has essentially, as you stated, been 2,000 years. If he said this generation will not pass, and this text, this book, is true, the words that we are reading that are being spoken, while presented as if they're being spoken by a man 2,000 years ago, are the actual words of a man that would come under the name Jesus at the time of the end. And it is him stating, this generation will not pass until you will see all of these different things. Now, the controversy that you see in the New Testament between Jesus and the Jewish community, as the brothers have so eloquently articulated, this isn't anti-Semitism or any of the different things that they try to hurl at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but the entire scripture of the Bible is devoted to Israel, children of Israel. And it goes all the way back to the beginning of Genesis. The understanding of the choice of God and the understanding of
who actually is the saviors or the people coming under these titles is critical. And here you have a people who have world domination who claim that they are, in fact, this people. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said they are not those people, that Moses had two missions. One of the missions was in Egypt, in a work before Pharaoh, but the second mission was to civilize the Caucasian people when they had fell from civilization in the caves and hillsides of Europe, and he taught them some of the forgotten technology that they had learned 2,000 years prior. This is all can all be proven through the scripture. The ones that he taught directly, he couldn't teach them all over Europe. The ones that he taught directly are the Caucasians that currently refer to themselves as Jews. They received directly some of the forgotten technology that Yaqub taught them, which was devilishment, telling lies, stealing, and how to master the original man. They took that and not only used it throughout the earth when the devil was unleashed onto the earth in fulfillment of scripture, but they used it on their own people and rose to the top of European civilizations. And then when the white man couldn't go east because the Muslims guarded the east, as the Bible talks about the cherubim and the flaming sword. They couldn't go west because they thought there were monsters in the ocean. Eventually they got out, and when they got out, they took this same philosophy all over the earth. These people are the people claiming to be the choice of God, but they are not the choice of God. That man Jesus, those words that were spoken in the past, are actually talking about a man that is present right now, and this is who we are representing, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Beautiful, beautiful. Brother Tony, sir?
Yes, sir.
The minister said he will continue to do what he has been commanded to do, and that is to pull off the covers of Satan. What say you, sir?
Yes, sir. We see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan continuing to pull off the covers of Satan, and it's not just here in North America, but internationally, he is doing so. In a previous installment of The Time and What Must Be Done, and I'm going to be a little bit biased because my parents are Cuban, but he devoted
yes,
almost,
sir.
In the previous installment of The Time and What Must Be Done, the whole segment almost entirely was about Cuba.
Yes.
And I'm going to tie it in with the Jewish question.
Mm-hmm.
We're not speaking about, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was very clear in stating that we're not speaking about all Jews here. We're talking about a selective one that are in power. And the ones that participate in this, they're also part of the same community known as the Synagogue of Satan. It's not just corresponding to Jewish people, but all people who seek to participate in that struggle to gain power and dominance over the earth, knowing fully well that those Jewish bankers and owners of multinational corporations are doing wrong to our peoples all over the earth through these institutions, but yet still seek to gain some kind of advantage by partaking in those institutions, doing business with those institutions. And the truth of the matter is, Brother Jihad, we're setting ourselves up for failure when we do that. We are partaking in our own destruction when the wealthy among our people go off and do this. We are sealing our own fate. In relating it to Cuba, which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan posed the question, well, why is the United States government have such a foothold on Cuba? Does it have to do with Cuba being communist itself? Well, the United States does trade with China as well as some other communist states, and it's done in a beneficial way. So it cannot be possibly about Cuba itself being communist. then he posed the statement, well, at least 68% of Cuba is black. Now, this is making reference to the original people that are living on the island, and really much more than 68% are of the original family in Cuba. But we find those that have been ushered out of Cuba as a result of the revolution of Fidel Castro, who was calling for Cuba Libre back in the 1950s, which means free Cuba. Free Cuba from all the corruption that America was instilling in Havana and other parts of Cuba. Freedom from the mafia that had a foothold on Havana and causing much of the cultural destruction of prostitution and gambling that is such an ailment among our people there on the island. Castro was doing away with all of that. And so what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan referred to as Jubans in one particular lecture who are here in America, not to say that all of them are really Jewish, but they partake in that power struggle. And they engage in business with multinational corporations. They plot the recapturing of Cuba through those institutions so that they could exploit our people on the island once again. And so we have to view this struggle, this power struggle, as not just something that we're experiencing here in America. It's very easy for us to fall into that trap, but this is something that corresponds internationally. And so Cuba is being utilized as a sign of, well, if you're not going to go along with the United States agenda, if you're not going to go along with the agenda of the multinational corporations or the banking institutions of this world that have such a foothold on our people internationally, well, this is what's going to happen to you. Sanctions are going to be called and you're going to suffer. But Fidel Castro in Cuba have been maintaining for well over 50, 60 years and have sought to develop education. The medical industry is thriving in Cuba, sending out doctors all over the world, becoming proficient in the use of herbs. And so here we see the potential for a new civilization to take place. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan also made reference to how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that socialism would be one of the last evolutionary stages before the establishment of the kingdom of God. Why? Because now human beings, regardless of color, regardless of religion, regardless of social status, now we are now becoming more equal in our state and quality of life. And so these are the signs that we must be analyzing in order to truly understand the time and what must be done, not just here in North America, but internationally as a people.
Praise be to Allah. Brother Ray, sir, we're coming down to the last few minutes of the show. I would like for you, sir, in just 2 minutes, sir, if you could wrap up for us with your summary of what the Part 18 stood out and what Part 18 represented to you that you would like the listeners to walk away with tonight.
Well, first of all, Brother Jahan, I want to thank you for allowing me to come on again. I think in the last couple of minutes that I do have, I will encourage all of the listeners to go and get the books written by the Nation of Islam Research Department, Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 1, written in 1991, Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 2, written in 2010, and understand why in this day and time that Minister Farrakhan is uncovering Satan, understanding that ye shall know the truth, and the truth is that's going to make us free, because we have been deceived. We think that because of the Jewish Holocaust that they suffered like we suffered, and nobody, they paid it. We talk about their Holocaust, but we paid a hell of a cost, and nobody have ever talked about the 150 or 200 million lives just lost in the Miller Passage alone. Since being in America, 600 million lives
taken of black lives since we've been here. So the minister is absolutely in tune with time, lining us up with himself, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Master Farah Muhammad. And I don't want us, the Nation of Islam, and black people in particular, to go to sleep on what this beast is trying to do with Minister Farrakhan. The last point, brother, the minister said that there's not a city in America where he don't have enemies. So if Minister Farrakhan, every city in America, Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, there's enemies for him and us, then what are these enemies planning for us, and what are we doing in preparation for the plans that the enemies have planned for the Honorable Louis Farrakhan in this small budding nation, the Nation of Islam? So I would encourage all of us to continue to listen to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan every Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the time and what must be done. If you're not a part of Farrakhan Twitter Army, join Farrakhan Twitter Army so we can tweet what Minister Farrakhan is saying, so we can make Minister Farrakhan and the time and what must be done a trending topic nationally for the next 40-some weeks in this year.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, soldier. Brother attorney, Brother Kenneth, you got 2 minutes, sir. What say you? What would you like the listening audience to walk away with in 2 minutes on the time and what must be done, part 18, sir?
Yes, sir. In closing, brother, I thank you once again for allowing me on the program. But to the listening audience, if you look in any of the major cities in America, and you look in any of the countries throughout the world, when you go to find the black community, you find the community that is on the bottom in health care, in education, in test scores, in possession of assets, in income generated on a yearly basis, in disease, in every measurable statistic, you find us on the bottom. You go and you look at other communities and you'll find extreme disparities. Now, if you go back and you study what has happened, the history of what has happened, the God that you talk about in church, the God that you pray to, that the prophets talked about, knew exactly what was going on. And there is a reason that your people are in the condition that they are in. There are very specific things that have happened to your people. And your people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. The scripture says, how will they know unless they have a teacher? And how would they have a teacher unless one is sent? If God came to all of these other people who were in a bad condition and gave them a messenger to explain his way to them to come out of their condition, why wouldn't he come and give you a messenger to help you out of your condition? And if you had been deceived, advantage of, what would he do to the one that did that to you upon his coming? You find that that question is answered in parables by Jesus, because he's actually talking about you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Brother Kenneth. Thank you, sir, for coming out tonight. Brother Tony, you got 1 minute, sir. Sorry about that, but you got 1 minute. Can you just talk to us real quick from the heart, sir?
Yes, sir. From the heart, I'd like to thank you once again and thank the brothers who participated, Brother Kenneth and Brother Ray, for such a wonderful program, the front lines with the FOI. It's always a blessing to be on this program and to serve in the capacity that I do, dear brother. And I'm going to close it out by referencing a scripture that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan mentioned, in essence, Surah 2, verse 42, and says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and mix not up truth with falsehood, nor hide the truth while you know. Right now is not the time to hide the truth. And we're taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to go to whoever we can with this message. Right now is not the time to just, you know, store our final calls in the trunks of our cars. not the time for that. There's time as furniture in our own homes. You know, right now is the time to go out and do the work and get to our people whatever way that we can. Go to our coworkers and inform them about this timely lecture series, the time and what must be done so that we could collectively prepare for what is to come.